As a chef, I know flavor doesn't begin in the kitchen. It begins on the land. And Westholme's nature-led Australian Wagyu is a story written in the landscape of Northern Australia. Cooking is storytelling, and Westholme Wagyu carries a story of Northern Australia itself. Raw, powerful, and deeply authentic. It's a testament to the passion and care raised in the rhythm of Northern Australia. I'm Chef Maylin from 88 Club in Los Angeles, and I invite you to visit westholme.com/Maylin to learn more. And taste a story only Westholme nature-led Australian Wagyu can tell. That's westholme.com/Maylin.
Hey everyone, welcome to another snack size edition of our show, How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. Lovely to be in your ear holes, as always. So today's guest is Michael Petrie. He is the creative director of Golden West Boots and has won all kinds of accolades and awards for work he has done for brands like Adidas and Ralph Lauren and Fry and Prada and Tumi. He also founded and successfully exited his own luxury startup, Courser. And if you dream of being in the fashion biz, stay listening to the very end because Michael has something that's going to help you literally walk in his shoes. How is that for a tease? Okay, so here's the funny thing. Michael's had all kinds of success. Obviously, extremely talented, but when he first started out, the only thing Michael knew about shoes were the cleats on his feet. See, like a lot of people I've spoken with over the years, Michael started out wanting to do something totally different, and that thing was he had trained his entire life to become a professional soccer player, and he actually did play overseas for a while. But he told me that when he was 24 years old, he got called into management for one of those conversations where they ask you to close the door. Never fun for anyone on any side of those conversations, and he was unfortunately cut. So he returned to the States. He had no idea what he was going to do with his life, and a friend of his invites him to come out and come work with them at Adidas. Now, again, the only thing he knew about footwear were the cleats that he wore in games. He was like, this doesn't make any sense. I don't know about this. But something inside him said, why not? I'll go check it out. So he flew out and told me he walked into the building and had this immediate epiphany. He says he was fascinated by what he saw, and he knew at that moment that this is something he wanted and needed to be a part of. So he did that thing that so many successful people do. He just jumped in. Who cares if I don't know what I'm doing? I'm going to figure it out as I go along. So that leads to my first question that I asked Michael. It's one thing, you know, to be in a meeting or an interview and fake it. Yeah, I could totally do this. No problem. But what about that moment afterward or a day after or your first day of work when you look around and you think, what have I gotten myself into? What do I do now?
Obviously, when the meeting's over, when you say like, man, what did I get myself into? Probably that's the first reaction. But, you know, that sort of fear is a really good sort of anxiety to have. I think to me, it's equivalent to having butterflies before a game or something. You just have to bone up. You have to study up on it and know that you're not going to know everything going into a situation and be comfortable there. I say this a lot, particularly in entrepreneur land, but also when you're at a big brand, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And for me, that's where some of the biggest growth happens is when you're learning new things, it's uncomfortable. When you're experiencing new things, it is uncomfortable. And if you just do the status quo all the time and you're just living in comfort, I don't think you grow personally or professionally. And so that's sort of been hand in hand with taking every opportunity is saying, okay, this is going to be a little bit scary and this is going to be a little nerve wracking, but at the end of it, I'm going to grow personally and it's going to be amazing. And that's sort of the attitude I think you have to take into it. And I wake up, but my natural resting position is really positive. And so that's sort of the attitude I take about it. Is this going to be great? Even if things don't go the way you thought they were going to go, it's still an amazing experience. And you can learn from those things that didn't go the way you thought they would.
So fashion by definition is a very glamorous world to operate in. But when I asked Michael about some unexpected obstacles he's faced over the years, he shared one that is decidedly unglamorous, to say the least.
When you travel a lot, you always have some really crazy stories, right? So, you know, I can remember I got arrested in Vietnam hand carrying samples for Prada, which is one of those things that I was not sure was going to be work out that well for me. But Prada, when you have samples, they don't allow you to ship them. They want you to hand carry them back and forth because of, you know, they're worried about someone stealing the design or espionage and things like this. So it's very common when you're in the luxury brands. And I had two huge bags of samples that I had made, and I was bringing them back through customs in Vietnam, and there was no paperwork in it. And usually the factory gives you all the paperwork because I didn't speak Vietnamese, so it's all supposed to be in there. And then you wind up getting arrested and detained, and they take your passport, and you sit in a white box for, you know, like 8 hours. And eventually, you know, I had to convince them to call the factory and get the paperwork and finally get out of there. But yeah, that turned out a little bit better than I originally thought was going to happen. So if you travel enough for work, you'll wind up with some really insane stories like that. But most of the time, you know, I'll tell you from a product making standpoint or from a creative standpoint, I've been lucky to work with amazing people and have really good mentors. Like, you know, Ralph Lauren is an amazing mentor. It's one of the best to ever do it. And to work with Miuccia Prada and Mr. Bertelli at Prada and everybody at Adidas. So I've been lucky in that context. And I feel like most of the products I have, I have come out the way I've wanted them to. Occasionally something slips out the door and you say, ooh, if I could do it over again, maybe I would have done something slightly different. But yeah. I will say this, though, to continue on that. You know, I worked with Jimmy Iovine. And one of the things that Jimmy Iovine said was, you know, don't have a rearview mirror. And that is also, for me, a big thing. If I'm constantly looking in the rearview mirror, how am I going to get ahead? How am I going to tell you what's happening in 2027? And to look back on some of those things that maybe didn't work the way it went is almost wasted energy for me. And in the same context, to live in the past about your successes is wasted energy. It's what am I going to do next? How am I going to keep rolling forward?
And so on to that question that people always ask super creative people, desperate to learn some magic trick that sadly just doesn't exist, but I asked it anyway. Michael, where do you get your ideas from?
And this is one that my wife told me, and you don't own ideas. And I'd heard this from her first, and I thought, this is sort of hippy dippy stuff, right? Like, no way. And then I'd heard Keith Richards talk about it, and then Noel Gallagher from Oasis, they talked about it. And you have to open yourself up to ideas first and foremost. So you don't own the idea. And you'll notice this in life. If you need an idea on the spot, you almost never have one. Someone says, like, I need an idea right now. You're like, I need a minute. But if you're open to receiving ideas, they're fully formed in the atmosphere, and they find you. And that's when people will tell you, like, you never know when creativity is going to strike you. And that's the idea of just being open, right, and listening. When I talk to college kids or high school kids, I always say, in order to become a good creative or good entrepreneur, you have to be a really good listener. And you have to take information from every single area, things that you might have a closed mind on and say, you know, I don't like this. Well, if you open yourself up to it, you might actually learn something. I just talked to my daughter today about it and said, have a meeting with this person. If 99% of it is not useful to you, imagine what you could glean from the 1% from her, though. And you can get a nugget from anywhere. So if you keep an open mind and you're always open to receiving ideas, they're there. They're in the atmosphere and they're going to come find you. That's my first sort of piece. I've been called the Rick Rubin of product. It's very Rick Rubin-esque, where it's very Zen-like. But I do believe that, because when you're stressing and you can't, you need an idea on the spot, you don't have it. The second thing I would say is you always have to look at your mix, and whether that's your product mix or your sort of visual mix, and whether you need more reels versus stills on Instagram, what that looks like. Does it represent the consumer or does it represent your brand? And you're trying to thread that needle all the time, right? You always want to be brand right, but you really want to start a conversation, a dialogue with the consumer. And what you find is people want sort of not just advertising, but social media that they can relate to and say, hey, that's just like me. Or, hey, you know, I totally understand where they're coming from with that horse or with that car or whatever it might be. And I worked with Lewis Hamilton in Formula One, and we had a big project, and we told Lewis, look, we need you to take your helmet off. We need you to really be personable. And he said, you know, there's only 20 of us. And those guys are superhumans. They're fighter pilots. And he said, I can't show weakness. And you know, I have to be really tough. And we said, but no one can relate to somebody doing 200 miles an hour around a track. Like it, right. People do 80 and they're nervous, right? So we said, look, we're going to get you on a phone call. You'll be in the next room from us in a hotel. And we started to talk to him and we recorded it. And we did it for a whole campaign. And Lewis said, I have a fear of snakes and I have a fear of spiders. And we used it in the video. And it just exploded on social media because immediately people had a connection to him. Yeah. No one connects to driving a Mercedes or a Ferrari 200. But right. There's a whole lot of people that's like, whoa, I'm scared of snakes too, Lewis. That's where you start to realize like, yeah, you're not preaching high atop the mountain. You're trying to start a conversation with like-minded people. And that's sort of the idea behind your brand.
Driving at 230 miles per hour? No prob. Bunch of snakes? No thanks. Well, we all have our fears, and I am terrified to tell you that we have reached the end of another snack. My thanks to Michael Petry and all that great advice, specifically on how to get out of jail in Vietnam. And as I said at the top of the show, Michael would love you to follow in his footsteps, quite literally. You can check out his latest boot designs at goldenwestboots.com. And if you enter the code ENT10 at checkout, you'll get 10% off. See, I told you listening to the show would make you smarter and better looking. So thanks for listening, subscribing, and leaving us comments. Love those comments. And a reminder to subscribe to our free How Success Happens newsletter, info.entrepreneur.com/HSH. You'll never miss an episode and get breakdowns of all of our guests' best advice. My best advice? While you're in the subscribing mood, go ahead and subscribe to my Substack. This should be fun. It'll make you feel better about yourself and all of your life decisions, I promise you. All right, see you next time.